Good morning, Mamlaka. I hope you have had a great week and you are looking forward to an even greater week. Today, I appreciate when we sing the national anthem, things like, there is usually a sense of unity, a sense of togetherness that we get, which seems to be a need or a requirement for every human being. Do you notice that when, you have something to rejoice, you tend to call somebody to rejoice it with? You do not keep it to yourself. Sometimes you will go to your status immediately to explore and share with others what and how you are doing. What is it that you have enjoyed as an individual? But you feel the need to involve others. I notice that much of life's joys are best experienced with others. I look at accomplishing great feats in your workplace. Chances are, if there was no one to walk the journey with you, it feels a bit lonely, and we tend to say it's lonely at the top, because chances are there is no one to celebrate with you those steps that you are taking in life. Yet in the midst of all this, we acknowledge that we are sinners. And together with that community, the people who bring you a lot of joy, including your family, your siblings, your children, your spouse, also comes much pain and suffering, much anguish of heart when a son or a daughter is going astray. When they get to that point, and today you say the devil has come upon them, and they answer back at you. It's distraughting. It is difficult to process. When that individual that looked like an angel and you saved them as angel so and so is calling, and now you return the surname of the father. When all of life, these teach us that there is necessity for one thing, if we will continue to enjoy the goodness that community brings, and that is the necessity to forgive. And in the past 4 weeks, we have been looking at what the life of a faithful believer looks like. And we have looked at what does it mean to be saved and to be considerate of the fact that are you saved or are you in a relationship with somebody who is not aware of you? That is the words of Jesus, "I never knew you." And then we had Pastor Kadu come and share with us about the necessity to count the cost, and the call by Jesus himself asking us, will you hate your father, mother, sister, brother, and your children, including your own life? Meaning, love me more than any of these things. And we had Reverend Mwangi last week remind us that God and Jesus expects that we will be radical in our fight against sin. And he told us, if necessary, gouge out your eye, cut your hand. But that's not all that Jesus tells us. When it comes to forgiveness, I point us to the book of Matthew chapter 6. He has something to say to us concerning forgiveness. This comes immediately after the Lord's Prayer, where he has said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In some of your versions, it will say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And Jesus sees the need to pick up that conversation about forgiveness. And this is what he says in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 6. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Reading this in the 21st century, I think some of you are already thinking, surely there are exceptions. What of that individual who keeps doing it and saying they are sorry? You see, one of the disciples, I appreciate them because he saw this and he asked Jesus another question. And this is found in Matthew 18, where Jesus takes time to expound on what he has said in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 18, this disciple comes up to Jesus and asks, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" This is found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. You see, in that passage before, Jesus has been talking about what happens when you are offended. What happens when somebody comes up to you and, gives you, talk down and tears you apart? When your officer at work does that to you? When your spouse does that to you? When your sibling, whom you agreed they were supposed to do something as a community, and they go and waste the resources that they were entrusted with? What are you to do? And Jesus says, hey, get into the resources that I've granted to you and go to him and confront them on the issue. And he says, if they agree with you, you have won them over. In that case, Jesus is saying, hey, you are the offender. Don't sit there and say, they are the ones who offended me. They need to come. He's saying, you go into your resources. I know it takes self-control. I know it takes some intentional thinking, but I want you who has been offended, you who are the victim, I want you to go to him and ask that you reconcile and sort out the issue. And he says, if you go the first time and they do not agree with you, he says, throw in the towel? No. He says, go and get somebody else. This means you as the victim, go and get and think about in your network of friends and the community that you share with this individual. Go find somebody that you think he'll listen to, whom they will give a consideration to their words, and go to them. No wonder Peter here asks, how many times am I to do this? If they did it the first time and hurt me and we sorted it out, and then we come back a second time and a third time. Now, some of you might be thinking, when Peter says seven times, you are thinking, Peter is one of those guys with, a konafius kubwa. Me, I'm the guy of two times. You do it twice, the third time, I'm not forgiving you. Now, the number is not usually, the repeat offenses are not in consideration here. You see, the number seven for them was a sense of fullness. And so he's actually asking, if he does the unthinkable, the greatest I can ever conceive, am I still to forgive him? Let us see Jesus' response from verse 22. He says, this is Matthew 18 from verse 22. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Aware of how human beings tend to avoid and circumvent the instructions of God, Jesus tells them a story to help them be reminded of that which he was calling them into. Here is the story. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Now, some of you have noticed that the individual is introduced as a king. And you are saying, surely that is reasonable. You have all these resources. This person, you're going to send him and sell him plus his whole family so that he can repay your debt. You know, people are more precious than money. So surely your forgiveness of debt is understood. You have the resources. You are a king in charge of a whole nation. Let me give you an estimate of what those 10,000 bags of gold would have looked like. You see, if I'm adjusting for inflation from a layman, I'd be thinking of around 58 trillion Kenya shillings. About 3 or 4 times our GDP annually. But to think more in their context, here's something to consider. You see, one talent would account for a day worker's wage for 20 years. In this case, there is 10,000 talents to be accounted for. Now, this individual, when he's saying, forgive me, I can work off my debt, he's saying, forgive me, I'll work for you for 200,000 years. It was an inconceivable debt. You see how flimsy his request to be forgiven looks like? But you might still be thinking this king has enough to forgive this individual. It doesn't cost him too much. Now, at one point, we would have a guy called Herod the Great overseeing maybe the whole region of Israel plus some surrounding regions. Do you know how much tax he would collect to send to the emperor? For one whole year, 800 talents. Basically, if this was Herod being called upon to forgive, he'd be saying, this whole region's taxes for 12 years is what you owe me, and you are asking me to forgive. The debt was great, and this individual could not pay it. And the master saw it to absorb the cost and forgive him. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. One silver coin was about 1 denarii, which was 1 day's wage. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him. The very same posture that he took before the king. Be patient with me. I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And Jesus concludes by saying, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you. Unless you forgive your brother or sister, not casually, but from your heart. You see, Jesus here is saying your forgiveness that he earns at the cross for you, the forgiveness that God grants to you, influences how you will forgive others. He says that is something that you should keep in mind whenever an offense from an individual comes to you. And if he says, if you treat it casually, your Father in heaven is not. He's seeking and he's asking you, I forgave you this debt. I forgave you your 200,000 years of servitude. And Jesus is saying, every other offense you will meet on this earth is but 100 silver coins. So I hope that in this passage you will see two of these things. He's asking us to relinquish every right to every mode of repayment.
And he's asking that we look to the cross for our motivation to forgive. Now, what does it mean to forgive? Exactly that. It means to stop seeking payback. Not seeking to extract a cost for what the offender did. An example would be if I visited Bonagagwa here one day, and I, as a good visitor that I am, offers to clean a cup, you know, out of just the generosity of my heart, because I'm generous like that. And then in the middle of washing that cup, I break it. Now, once a Gagwa hears the shattering of glass, he has a decision to make. Will he ask me to pay for it? Or will he absorb the cost? Oh, wicked servant. He is ready to ask me to pay. You see, John has a decision to make. Will he live with the inconvenience of not having that cup, forgo the cost that he incurred in getting the cup, or will I be the one to absorb it? And in forgiveness, you say, I, the offended party, absorbs this cost. I am not going to demand it of you in any manner. Now consider it this way. The various ways we extract payment. I know some of you are saying, you know, we are the ones that forgive and say, nimemsamea, nimemwachia Mungu. I've left it unto God to deal with him. Now that's not forgiveness. That is you, you know, getting the resources of heaven to do vengeance for you. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness means I'm seeking your greater good. I want your good. I want you to enjoy the blessings of God. You know, I'm not going, you know, you're my manager. I'm not going to gossip you in the office hoping to tarnish your reputation. I'm not going to root for your destruction. You know, you are the director, manager, and everything in this company. And I know you spoke harshly to me. And I'm just waiting and praying for the day KRA will get you. Because I know there are a few things you haven't done in line. I'm just waiting and hoping and thinking and dreaming and relishing the day when that will happen. The day maybe I'll tell you I told you so. How many kwambie karma? You know, it gets each and every one of us eventually. What you do to others comes around to you. No. It is not just for foregoing one means of getting vengeance to turn to another. You know, some of us in our hearts, we belittle the individual. We will say, you know, he's too low for me. I don't want to stoop to his level. And start fighting and bickering over that. But in your eyes, you have taken one who has the image of God and you elevated yourself over them so that they can feel little to you. And you can feel greater than them. And in that feeling greater than them, you are getting your payment. Some of us expect when I forgive you, next time you show up in my presence, you better come crawling and kneeling. You know, next time I'm in a meeting with you, I need to sense that there is a difference that you give to me. I need to feel a sense of worship from you. Oh, thou great forgiver that you are. We say we have forgiven, but we only turn to other ways in which we can seek repayment. Now, I know sometimes there are things that might be jumping in your head and you're thinking, by the way, is this exception or that? No. Here's something that I think we often get tripped over and I think we need to consider it. Sometimes follow-up will be needed. There are follow-up consequences. For example, I have an accountant who I don't have in reality, but I have an accountant. And I get to know this accountant, you know, in my conversations and engagements with him, I notice he is not really good with money and he swindled me here and there in our private affairs. It is of importance for me to ask myself, do I still want them to be the accountants of our company or the company that I own? There is a natural consequence. But let me tell you something to consider. Unless you have forgiven them, every other natural consequences that we might say are necessary will end up being means to pay them back. So maybe we will take off the office of accountancy from you, but it is that will give me the sense of joy or repayment. I will relish taking it from you. I won't mourn with you as it's taken with you. From you. No, I will enjoy it being taken from you. But I'll say, you know, I'd forgiven him. It's just that this is, he has not proved himself trustworthy. Now, there is a difference when you have to send somebody for prosecution in a court because of something that they have caused. And you are waiting for the judgment to feel the joy of them being sent to jail and saying, you know, I forgave him. Or some of us won't go to the court, but we will sense this just waiting and hoping that God will visit judgment on them. Unaombea adui wako aishi siku mingi ili unapobarikiwa Askie yo. It's called kiwaru. For those who don't understand, it's praying for your neighbor, an enemy, so that on the day you are blessed, they are there to feel the pain. We are getting payment. Now, forgiveness, in its all complexity, because sometimes it's a spouse. And you are living with this individual faithfully. And what they have committed is a great atrocity. Or it's a parent. I notice that, I don't know if it's you, but do you notice the more you learn about, you know, trauma and wounds, the more you are a bit angrier and opportunities to be angry. You notice, kumbe that teacher was abusing me. Something that was meant to be for our good, to discover where we are injured and seek healing, sometimes ends up being reasons why we are angry and offended by everyone. You see, it could be your parent in the words that they said and how they disciplined you, and you know, you have realized, no, that was not discipline. That was something else. It could be a sibling, the way in which they treated you. And sometimes even in extents of abuse. And here is a first resource that I want and hope you will have. Do you notice that when this guy is failing to forgive the servant, the other servants know what is happening and they know this is not right? And I challenge you to the place of community. Some of these evils that are committed against you, because they are evil, are not to be borne by yourself. It will crush you. If you are to consider what has been done against you, all the wounds and traumas that you have faced, I assure you, you will run out of the resources to forgive. But I thank God that one of the people and one of the ways he has enabled us is the community that we have around us. that in the same way during grief and moments when you lose somebody and people come around you and just their presence and they hold their hand and they sing with you and they are present for the journey when you need to go to the morgue, when you need to come and lay your loved one's body in the ground, that they would be there to mourn and grieve with you the harm that has been done to you. Because chances are, without that, you will run out of the resources that you need to keep forgiving. And sometimes, you'll be seeking payment, and your neighbor, your friend, can clearly see what is going on in your heart that you don't. So I'd say, would you consider to continuously in your lives have people around you, part of your community, are people who you open up your heart and life to them? Because in another passage in Luke 17, do you know what Jesus will tell his disciples? Be sure offense will come to you. He says, it is bad for that individual who through offense comes. He says it's better for them to have tied a millstone in their neck and be thrown into the ocean. But he says, be sure offense will come. And you will need the resources to forgive. And one of them is the community that God grants you. Because imagine that it is not just believers and those who ask for forgiveness that you forgive. In Mark 11:25, Jesus will say, hey, if you are there worshiping and praying to God and lifting up your hands and remember there is someone you hold a grudge against, they offended you in one way or another, he does not say go and ask them to come and ask for forgiveness. He says forgive them right there and then. So forgiveness is not limited to only those individuals that come up to you and ask for forgiveness. In fact, if you consider what he says about when you are offended and you need to go to somebody and explain to them that they offended you, chances are if you have not forgiven them, it will just turn into another nasty scene of name calling or, you know, calling out each other's offenses. So in view of the call to forgive, those who come and ask for forgiveness, those who don't, those who can't, maybe because they are departed. God tells us, you know, forgive them. And I challenge you to have a community and people who helped you bear such burdens. But this is not the only resource that Jesus gives. The other resource that Jesus gives is the forgiveness we have received from the Father. In Matthew chapter 6, you notice that he keeps bringing up the way the Father forgives us. Do you notice that the servants were outraged? What were they outraged by? It was not that this guy was throwing this guy into prison. It was that he was doing it in spite of what he had been forgiven. The king outrightly brings this out. He says in verse 32, then the master called the servant in, you wicked servant. What gives him the wicked tag? He said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? You know, at the end of this section, Jesus is talking about forgive as my Father has forgiven you. So the king here is God. He's saying, hey, I have forgiven you. Jesus, in this case, also you can see his sense of comparing the two by using this very same exact words that the servant used to the king to now the person who owes him money. Both of them, same posture, fold their knees, ask for patience, and say they will repay. Jesus is saying, the relationship, the vertical relationship you have with forgiveness informs the horizontal forgiveness In the same way that there is grace on this side, you extend grace on this side, no matter the offense. Now, you might be thinking that is such an unfair thing, or it's too high a calling. Let me point to you why I think this is a good idea. In view of the kinds of offenses that we go around in life, here's why I think this is a good idea. The cross of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness is actually able to absorb the different kinds of offenses that we endure. You see, if you depend on, I'm just a forgiving personality, I'm just the kind of guy who doesn't hold tightly to the things of this life, sooner or later you will run out of that resource when that person touches the thing that is close to your heart. It might not be the things of this earth, but it might be that relationship that you have with someone and they backstab you. And on that day, you will realize you don't hold on tightly to some things, but to others, you have a vice-like grip on them. It also doesn't treat your pain casually, because you see what God had to do in order to forgive people. You know, sometimes when we are asked to forgive, we feel like, how dare you ask me to forgive? Do you know how much this thing is grieving me? And at the foot of the cross, we can see that God does not take forgiveness casually. He did not just wave his hand and say, I forgive. In the same way that the blood of bulls and goats and lambs couldn't wipe away your sin, the same way that your own resources won't allow you and won't enable you to wipe away and forgive every sin. Only the cross can help us do that. The other last one that I share is that part of it is that at the cross, yes, you are granted grace by the Holy Spirit to forgive, but also there you know where to take the pain, the cost that you are experiencing. You see, if somebody disrespects me and I have to absorb the cost of the shame, if I say it's just my personality has to absorb that. But when I know there is the cross of God and there is a way in which he has dealt with me, I can take that and bring it before God in prayer and say, hey God, I am in a moment of need. I do not have the strength for this. He is able to strengthen you and help you do that which he has called you to do. At the cross also, we are reminded that, you know, I say we tend to forgive people who are like us. In this way that we see others, just human nature, we tend to see others in one dimension and ourselves in three dimension. If you go to a workplace, a company with different departments, and tell them, you know, IT department has been failing and everything. If I'm from marketing, it's very easy for me to say, those guys are lazy, nini, they just don't know how to keep time and keep their targets. But if at the same time I point out, and you guys in marketing, I hear you didn't do this and do this, you'll say, you know, it was a bit complex, you know. There were other outside forces that we couldn't control. And at the cross, we are able to see that the person who has offended us is quite similar to us. Because at that point, we are seeing the perfect character and righteousness of God. And we are able to see this individual. And we are able to see our own sin and realize, I'm just as filthy as you are. I need as much grace as you need. And by that, God is able to strengthen us and many other ways that we do not know. Let me point us to something. Let me just read to you a verse. In Matthew 17, Jesus will talk to people, because this is also a helpful way that to guard your heart in the process of forgiveness. I think that's part of what the cross does. It guards our hearts. In Luke 17, verse 3 to 5, I'll just read. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. If they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Because we acknowledge how great a deal it is when people sin against us. Do you know what Jesus' answer to them will include? He'll say, you know, after you've done all this, when you as a master have a servant working out in the field and you come in the evening, do you tell them rest? No, you tell them, hey, there's this thing else that you need to do and these others that you need. And he says, after you have done all these things to forgive, you will say, we were but unworthy servants. Because even your forgiveness has the temptation to build your pride. And it is in looking at the cross and seeing all these resources that the cross provides that we guard ourselves against bitterness. And we are able to see how we ought to forgive. And we are granted the resources to do it. Now, I might not be in a position to tell you how you ought to forgive and do each and everything that you need to sort out in relationships. But I'm quite sure if you have a few people around you, your real group, or others that you can talk to, or a pastor you can approach and consider, the beauty of community is that every single offense, by the power of the cross, can be forgiven. May the Lord bless you and keep you.